specifically have one major illusion or one major picture of Christ throughout the book, and that would be the scarlet thread found in that book. And so Genesis, the scarlet thread found in Genesis, is there is a promised Messiah, and he is the ram at Abraham's altar. That's the scarlet thread in Genesis. And if you didn't know, Genesis covers a period of approximately 2,300 or so years, okay? 2,300 years or so. And then we have Exodus. And Exodus means a going out or a mass departure of people, and that's exactly what happens in Exodus. A mass amount of people, the Israelites, leave Egypt. And the theme of Exodus is God redeems Israel from Egypt slavery. So it's the redemption of God in the book of Exodus. And the purpose of Exodus, it lays the foundation of the cleansing, the worship, and service of a redeemed people. It lays the foundation of the cleansing, worship, and service of a redeemed people. So the idea in Exodus is redemption. The scarlet thread of Christ in Exodus is he is the Passover lamb, he is the bread of life, he is the living water. And Exodus covers a period of about 216 years. Leviticus, that's a hard word, a long word, a big word, hard to spell. What in the world does Leviticus mean? Well, it simply means the book of the Levites. And you know the tribe of Levi, right? Well, the tribe of Levi was selected by God to be the priestly tribe. And the children of Aaron became those who inherited the actual priesthood, but the rest of the Levites were also given to the priests, who were Levites, to help the priests in the tabernacle. The theme of the book of Leviticus, then, is the ceremonial law and how it relates to the Levitical priesthood and the tribe of Levi. The purpose of Leviticus, it details the walk, worship, and service of a redeemed and holy people. And the key word in Leviticus, the key word is holiness. Holiness. It occurs 87 times in the book. We're going to have a quiz at the end of this. That right there sounds a lot like a quiz question. The key word of the book of Leviticus. The scarlet thread in Leviticus. He is our great high priest. Just as Leviticus, the idea was setting up the priesthood and there was a high priest. Well, Jesus Christ is our great high priest. And he washes us. The Levites would wash the sacrifices before they were sacrificed, and they would wash their own hands and make themselves clean. Our high priest, our great high priest, washes us. And this book, Leviticus, historically occurs during the time within Exodus and Numbers. So it doesn't have it doesn't occur as a time slot by itself. It just was written and occurred along with the times of Exodus and Numbers. And then we have Numbers, the fourth book in the Bible, Numbers. And it's talking about the numbering of the Israelites. The theme of Numbers, every servant of God is counted or numbered and is to serve and walk with his God. In Numbers, we see that which follows redemption, which it was the theme of Exodus, that which follows redemption. And that which follows worship and fellowship is service and walk, okay? So it is the complete picture along with Exodus and Leviticus. It finishes the picture that those two books started. Exodus starts redemption, Leviticus continues with worship and fellowship, and Numbers finishes it with service and walk. The purpose of Numbers, it records a specific redeemed people, Israel, failing to obey, and their subsequent wilderness wanderings. The scarlet thread of Christ in Numbers is that God dwells within the host. God dwells within the host. He is the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. If you read the first beginning of Exodus, it's all about the host, the host. It's setting out the standards of how they were to set up their tents and how they were going to unset up their tents and march out to battle, and who goes first and who goes second, who goes third, and it was all about the host. God dwells within that host. And Numbers covers a period of about 39 years. And then Moses' last book, Deuteronomy, another big, long word and hard to spell. Deuteronomy means second law or repeated law. And that's exactly what Moses does for the entire book of Deuteronomy. He repeats and reiterates and says again the law and the history of Israel since the time they had come out of the land of Egypt. That's the theme of Deuteronomy, the reiteration of the law and covenants to Israel. The purpose of the book, well, it's Moses' final charge to Israel, his final sermon, right before his death and right before the children of Israel enter the promised land. Moses reminds Israel of their history. He reminds them of their God, of their God's law, and what their God expects of them as Israelites. And he reminds them of the promised result. Whether their choice was good or bad, God had given them promises to go along with an obedient Israel or a disobedient Israel. And so he's reminding them of all of that. And the scarlet thread of Christ in Deuteronomy, the cities of refuge are mentioned first in Deuteronomy. I believe it's the first thing in Deuteronomy. The first time that they are mentioned is Deuteronomy. And he is our city of refuge. The Lord Jesus Christ is our city of refuge. Historically, it didn't take much time, a whole lot of time, for this book to happen. Historically, this was just one big long sermon, maybe a couple days, maybe 3 days, maybe just one day. We don't know. But the bulk of Deuteronomy happened in just one long sermon. And then at the very end of Deuteronomy, it takes a little bit of time for Moses to climb up Mount Nebo and to see the land and then die. And somebody besides Moses finished the book, probably Joshua or someone like that. So then we move on to the book of Joshua. The theme of Joshua is, of course, conquering Canaan and inheriting the promised land. The purpose is to record the completed promise. God's promise came true. And the consummation of the redemption of Israel from Egypt. So all of God's promises to Israel were completed at this time, that at least according to the land. He gave it to them. He did not lie to them. Everything that he had promised them in Egypt, he finally was able to give them. The key idea in Joshua is that Moses, my servant, is dead. Moses, my servant, is dead, which represents the law, which was represented by Moses, was dead. It could never give us sinful people victory. It wasn't dead in that it was of none effect or wasn't in use anymore, but it could not give the sinful people victory in the land of Canaan. Canaan was a place of victory and blessing, but not through the law. It was a place of victory and blessing through divine power alone. Divine power alone. The law had nothing to do with the inheriting the land. And the scarlet thread in Joshua is exactly that. Remember the scarlet rope hung by Rahab? And this is where we get the idea of why we call it a scarlet thread, the thread throughout the Bible. Rahab hung a rope in her window, a red rope, and that was how the children of Israel knew where Rahab was and that she was indeed on their side. And they saved Rahab because of her faith and trust in God. And the book of Joshua covers a period of approximately 30 years. He is approximately 80 when he took charge, and he died at the age of 110. And then we go to the book of Judges. And the theme of Judges is kind of clear. God will judge sin. God will judge sin. But as he judges sin, he does offer grace. He does offer grace. So we see that through the time and time again where Israel sinned. God brings judgment, but God brings salvation as well to the nation. The purpose of Judges, it reveals the utter failure of Israel, or man, and the persistent mercy and grace of God. The persistent, unrelenting mercy and grace of God. And the scarlet thread is the fact that Christ is our judge. Christ is our judge. Now the Judges, the book of Judges, if you just add up all the dates, it'll get confusing because we are told in 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 1 that it was 480 years from the time they came out of Egypt to the time that the temple, the foundation of the temple, was laid. But if you add up all the dates in Judges, there's a lot more than 480 years there. So what's the deal? Well, Judges covers a period of very roughly a period of 300 years. These 300 years that are listed in the Bible, or I should say the years that are listed in the book of Judges, are all round numbers, which is, it's highly unlikely for all the judges to have lived exactly round numbers. So it's understood that they're rounded. They're not exact. And they probably, most likely, almost for sure, overlapped each other. I'm going to have to turn here because my words are all messed up. They overlapped each other. For instance, at the very beginning of the book of Judges, Othniel is the first judge. And after Othniel delivers Israel, it says the land had rest 40 years and Othniel died. And by the way, it doesn't say that Othniel died after 40 years. It just said the land had rest 40 years and sometime during that time Othniel died. Okay? Which is one reason why another judge could take his place during the beginning of that 40 years. So his death did not necessarily happen at the end of those 40 years. He could have died very soon at the first 2 or 3 years into that 40 years. The phrase, the land, is very likely a reference to a locality within Israel. Not the entire land of Israel, but a section of Israel. Maybe Judah and Simeon, because Othniel was of the tribe of Caleb, of the tribe of Judah. And Othniel delivered his tribe from Chedorlaomer, I believe his name was, the king of Mesopotamia. So it could very well mean the land could very well mean that that area had rest within Israel for 40 years. And then likely during those 40 years, Ehud's people rebelled. Ehud's people was Benjamin. Benjamin rebelled during those 40 years into idolatry. The Lord sold them to Eglon, the king of Moab, across the river from Benjamin. And Ehud was raised up to deliver them, probably during those 40 years of Judah's rest. I'm just surmising, but I'm giving you an instance of how these numbers, years, overlap each other. And then, after Ehud delivered Benjamin, that land had rest. The Bible says land again. Had rest 80 years after Ehud. So that land could very well refer to just possibly Benjamin, southeastern Israel, maybe just the tribe of Benjamin. Following Ehud, another area of the land had rest 40 years after Deborah and Barak. So that where Deborah and Barak were from was the tribe of Naphtali, northern Israel. They fought in the Jezreel Valley. So possibly during the second half of Ehud's 80 years of peace, Deborah and Barak's 40 years of peace. So in other words, 40 years could have started when 80 years started. 40 years could have stopped in the middle of 80 years. This 40 years could have started in the middle of this 80 years. And instead of 160 years, it could have just been 80 years of peace in different sections of the land of Israel. And then so we have Othniel, the first judge of Israel. Then we have Ehud, the second judge of Israel. We have Shamgar, the third judge of Israel, who takes up no time, by the way. No time is given to Shamgar. He is a judge during Ehud and Deborah's time. So Shamgar, the third judge, Deborah and Barak, the fourth judge. And then the fifth judge is Gideon. And so with Othniel, the land had rest. With Ehud, the land had rest. With Deborah and Barak, the land had rest. And suddenly at the end of Gideon, the fifth judge, the country had rest for 40 years. So it looks to me like these 40, 80, and 40 years all were together, different sections of the land of Israel. And at the end of those 80 years, finally, for the first time, Midian puts the entire country under its oppression, and Gideon delivers the country of the land of Israel. Okay, that's just a guess, but that's an illustration of how these numbers overlap each other, okay? So instead of counting the years throughout Judges, don't do that. That's just giving you how long a time there was peace in different sections of the country. You need to go back and say there was 480 years from the time they left Egypt to the time the foundation of the temple was built. The Bible is very clear about that. All right. Then we have the book of Ruth. So the theme of Judges, God will judge sin, but he offers grace. The scarlet thread, Christ is our judge. Then the book of Ruth. The theme is being redeemed by the kinsman redeemer. The purpose of Ruth, it's an illustration of the normal Christian experience. Ruth decides on Christ. Ruth serves Christ. Ruth rests in Christ, and Ruth is rewarded in Christ. Not specifically, but she's rewarded within Judaism, which is a picture of the normal Christian experience today. The scarlet thread is Christ is our kinsman redeemer. And these events in Ruth occurred during the time of the judges. And the Bible tells us that, during the time of the judges, and it picks up the story there. Then we have 1 and 2 Samuel. 1 and 2 Samuel. The theme of 1 and 2 Samuel. God is looking or searching for faithful men and women. God is looking or searching for faithful men and women. How do we see that theme? Well, first of all, in the purpose. The first purpose, God in 1 Samuel reveals the moral failure of the priesthood under Eli, which caused the Lord to search out a faithful prophet instead of another priest. And that faithful prophet was Samuel. So prophets, from that point on, prophets became the de facto messengers of Jehovah to Israel. No longer was the messenger the priest. Okay, so that's from then on, prophets were the main go-to. Who has the word of the Lord today? The prophet, not the priest. Also, 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel reveals the moral failure of Israel towards Jehovah in that they rejected the judges altogether and they wanted a king. They wanted a king. And the third moral failure of Israel... now I can't read my writing. The third moral failure was of Israel's first king, causing the Lord to reject him and to search out a man after his own heart, right? God rejected Saul, and he searched out a man named David, the son of Jesse. So the theme of Samuel is God is looking for faithful men and women. The scarlet thread, Christ is our faithful prophet. Christ is our faithful prophet. And these two books cover a period of approximately 100 to 115 years. 1 and 2 Kings. 1 and 2 Kings. The theme of these two books is David's line is established by promise. David's line is established by promise and deposed for a time. For a time. The purpose, it records the history of Israel as it falls deeper and deeper into backsliding. No king of the northern tribes was ever a godly king. The scarlet thread in 1 and 2 Kings, well, Christ is our reigning king. Christ is our king. And 1 and 2 Kings covers a period of 426 years from David's death until the time of the Babylonian captivity. Then we have 1 and 2 Chronicles, kind of the same thing, but instead of following the northern tribes, which is what 1 and 2 Kings primarily does, 1 and 2 Chronicles follows the southern tribe of Judah. And that theme is the blessing of God is given to the promised line. The blessing of God is given to the promised line. The purpose, to reveal God's workings and blessings through the Davidic line and to record the history of David's line so that we would have a clear picture of who deserves to be the king later on. Jesus is the heir to the throne. And at this point, there's the note. And this note is asterisked doubly. So it sounds to me like another quiz question. All genealogies in the Bible. Why are there genealogies in the Bible? Why is there so many boring genealogies? All genealogies in the Bible are there to give an accurate and unquestionable line from Adam through Abraham through David to Jesus Christ. That we may be assured that he is our kinsman and the rightful king of Israel. Okay? That is the purpose of all the genealogies in the Bible, to give an accurate and historic record from Adam to Jesus. And you'll notice, after Jesus, no more genealogies, right? The line of Jesus, the genealogy of Jesus Christ was the last one. That is the purpose of all of them. The scarlet thread in 1 and 2 Chronicles, he is the son of David. He is the son of David. And Chronicles covers a period of 468 years from Saul's death until during the Babylonian captivity. So it didn't stop right at the Babylonian captivity. It went into it a little bit. Then the book of Ezra. Its theme is the regathering of the nation of Israel after the 70-year captivity was over. Its purpose, it records the return of the Jews to Palestine. It records the rebuilding of the temple and the beginning, the reinstitution of the law in Judea. The scarlet thread, as Ezra was a faithful scribe, so our Lord is the faithful scribe. And the book of Ezra covers about 80 years. And at this point, we can have certain dates. From the Babylonian captivity is a decided date in history. And from the Babylonian captivity on, we know what the dates are for sure. At least, you know, in B.C. terms. Okay, so it's 536 B.C. to 456 B.C. that Ezra, that they came back and began to come back to the nation. In Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah, his theme was the rebuilding of Jerusalem. The purpose there, it's not just the rebuilding of the wall of Jerusalem, it's also the reconstruction of Jerusalem's government. Nehemiah is the Tirshatha, the governor, under the Persian kings. Okay, so it details the rebuilding of the wall of Jerusalem and the rebuilding of Jerusalem's government. And the scarlet thread in Nehemiah, he is the rebuilder. The Lord Jesus Christ is the rebuilder of that which is broken, of all things which are broken. Nehemiah covers 11 years from 446 B.C. to 435 B.C. Excuse me. And then Esther. Esther's a little bit out of order here. Esther should have been Esther lived during the time that Ezra lived. Esther's theme, the book of Esther, is the unseen watch, care, and protection of... The theme is the unseen watch, care, and protection of Jehovah over Israel. Purpose. The purpose of the book. And this is interesting. Quiz time. Just as God's name is never mentioned in the book of Esther. Did you know that? God's name is never mentioned in the book of Esther. God watches over Israel without being seen, keeping his eternal promises to Israel. But God's name is never mentioned, never written, throughout the book of Esther. The scarlet thread of Esther is, he is our Mordecai. The Lord Jesus Christ is our Mordecai, sitting faithfully at the gate. Susie and Sharon, pay attention. Karen, put that down. And then we go into the books of poetry. The books of poetry. Now, poetry, the Hebrew poetry, is not like our poetry today. If you want to get a book of poetry in English, it will rhyme. Okay? English poetry, well, when we are referring to poetry, it rhymes. Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. Jack fell down and broke his crown, and so on and so forth. It's a rhyme. Okay? But Hebrew poetry is not a rhyme at all. Okay? It's poetry it's a different style of poetry altogether. It's a repetition of ideas. A repetition of ideas, and that's called parallelism. Parallelism. And now we're going to have a few sword drills. And we're going to look at those verses, but you don't get to read those verses. Let's go to the last slide, brother, and take those verses off the screen so nobody reads those verses. Bible's up. Psalm 9:9. Go. Whoever has it first, stand up and read it. Psalm 9:9. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Thank you. So parallelism is called synonymous when the thought is identical, as in that verse. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. So it's saying the same thing again in different words. It's synonymous. It's identical. So that's synonymous parallelism. And then there's antithetic parallelism. And that's when the thoughts are in contrast. Okay? And so let's go to Psalm. Bible's up. Sword drill. Psalm 1:6. Psalm 1:6. Go. This verse is antithetic parallelism. Psalm 1:6. Who's got it? Thank you. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So it's completely contrast. The righteous, the wicked, the ungodly. And then there's a third type of parallelism. It's called synthetic parallelism. And that is when the thought is developed or enriched by a parallel. Bible's up. We're going to go to a synthetic parallel. Job 11:18. Job 11:18. Go. Synthetic parallel. Job 11:18. Who's got it? Somebody's got it. I know somebody's got it. Thank you. Job 11:18 says, "And thou shalt be secure, because there is hope. Yea, thou shalt dig about thee, and thou shalt take thy rest in safety." So it developed a thought of being secure. It developed a thought, and it enriched it. It's a synthetic parallel. Okay, so that is why they are called books of poetry, not because they rhyme. They don't rhyme. In English, we wouldn't call them English poetry, but in Hebrew. In the Hebrew language, it's considered poetry by the parallels that are given. Parallelism. Okay, so the first book of poetry is the book of Job. The book of Job. The theme of Job, why do the godly suffer? Why do the godly suffer? The purpose of Job is to show that God's righteousness is greater than man's. God's righteousness is greater than man's. God's deliverance given to man in any circumstance of life is a revelation and gift of His mercy and grace. Any deliverance given by God to man in any circumstance of life is not deserved by man, and it is a revelation and gift of His mercy and grace. The scarlet thread in Job, He is our Redeemer that ever liveth. Job is the oldest book of the Bible. Asterisk again, young kids. The oldest book of the Bible is the book of Job. Not that it happened first, because God created the heavens and the earth first. It's the oldest book of the Bible because that book was written first. It was the first book written down. And Job covers a time frame of about 1 year, except at the end when his wife gives birth to 10 more kids. That would have taken longer than 1 year. And it's before the giving of the law, during the age of the patriarchs. Then we have the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms. It has multiple themes. Its themes are Jesus Christ, not specifically Jesus or Christ, but the Messiah in the Old Testament. So the Messiah, Jehovah, the law, creation, the future of Israel, the works of the renewed heart, in suffering, in joy, in perplexity. The purpose of the Psalms, it is the prayer and praise book of Israel, and also is supposed to be the prayer and praise book of the church. Christ Church today. It is the prayer and praise book of Israel. That's an interesting answer to a question that might get asked. Its scarlet thread, the scarlet thread of Psalms, is He is my shepherd, I shall not want. Proverbs, divine wisdom. I'm running out of time, so I'm going to speed up here. Proverbs, theme, divine wisdom. Purpose, the book of Proverbs gives us its purpose. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, and so on and so forth in the first few verses of the book of Proverbs. The scarlet thread, He is our wisdom. The Lord Jesus Christ is our wisdom. Ecclesiastes, a big long word. It means the preacher. The word Ecclesiastes means the preacher. Its theme is, it's talking about the best of earthly wisdom, the best of man's wisdom, the best that man can do as far as giving wisdom. It is to show the vanity of man's wisdom in comparison to God's wisdom in Proverbs, okay? So don't ever get doctrine out of Ecclesiastes. It is not God's wisdom. It is showing, the book of Ecclesiastes is showing the vanity or the uselessness of man's wisdom compared next to the book of Proverbs, God's wisdom. Okay? So don't ever get doctrine out of Ecclesiastes. That is dangerous. The scarlet thread in Ecclesiastes is, again, He is wisdom. He is wisdom. The Song of Solomon, it's the book of the relationship of the bride and the bridegroom, the relationship the bride has with the bridegroom. Its purpose is to give a picture of the relationship of the believer. To give a picture of the relationship the believer should seek to have and will have in heaven with Christ. The theme, scarlet thread is He is the beautiful bridegroom. And then we have the major prophets. Their prophecies, why are they called major prophets? Well, because their prophecies covered large or major spaces of time. Okay? Long spaces of time. So, I meant to have a chart here. They cover a long section of time, and then they skip over the church age, and they look at the coming kingdom. All the major prophecies cover a long space of Old Testament time, and they look toward to the Messiah, and then they skip over the church age, and they're looking at the coming kingdom, the kingdom relationship of Israel with the Messiah. So the major prophets are called major because they cover a long, major space of time. They usually included several or many nations in their prophecies, which is another reason why they're called major prophets. They were prophecies that dealt with many nations. And they do happen to be mostly longer books than the minor prophets, but that is like a very minimal reason to why they're called the major prophets. Daniel is shorter than Zechariah, so that's not the reason they're called major prophets. It's because they deal with major spaces of time and many nations in their prophecies. Isaiah is the first major prophet, and Isaiah, as a major prophet, has several themes. He covers Israel in exile and God's judgment on her oppressors. He covers the return from exile, the coming Messiah in humility, the blessing of the Gentiles. The Messiah is coming as judge later on. The reign of the branch of Jesse, the millennial kingdom, in other words. And he covers the new heavens and new earth. So Isaiah is a broad and comprehensive view of prophecy. It's a major, illustration of a major prophet. The scarlet thread in Isaiah, he is the suffering servant. Isaiah is the most comprehensive view of prophecy, by the way. Scarlet thread, he is the suffering servant. Jeremiah and Lamentations, it's their themes, multiple themes again, major prophets. In Jeremiah, he covers the Babylonian captivity, the return from captivity, the worldwide dispersion of Israel, the regathering of Israel, the kingdom, the coming kingdom of the Davidic line, the day of judgment of the Gentiles, and the remnant of Israel. So those are the major themes of Jeremiah. And in Lamentations, the theme of Lamentations is the sorrow of Jehovah for His people whom He is chastening. The sorrow of Jehovah for His people while He is chastening them. The purpose of both of those books is giving us the future history of Israel, the future history of Israel. The scarlet thread, He is the weeping prophet. The Lord Jesus Christ is the weeping prophet. I'm going to have to just really hurry now. Ezekiel, the theme is God was not finished with an exiled Israel. God was not finished with an exiled Israel. Jesus Christ, as you read Ezekiel, Jesus is the wonderful four-faced man in Ezekiel. In Daniel, the theme, it is an introduction into New Testament prophecy. It is introducing New Testament prophecy. He is the prophet of the times of the Gentiles. Daniel's vision sweeps the whole course of Gentile world history and ends his prophecy with the catastrophe caused by the man of sin and then the setting up of the messianic kingdom. Okay, the scarlet thread in Daniel is Jesus Christ is the fourth man in the midst of the fiery furnace. The minor prophets, again, they deal with a shorter or minor space of time. So as the major prophets looked at a lot of different people groups sometimes, always they looked at Israel, And they always looked towards the messianic kingdom. So too, the minor prophets looked at a glimpse. So the major prophets were a huge timeline. The minor prophets take a chunk of that timeline, and they look at that chunk of timeline, and then they jump ahead also at the end of the book, and they look at the messianic kingdom a little bit. So the minor prophets deal with a short space of time that was covered by the major prophets, and then they all look towards the for a short time at the messianic kingdom. The minor prophets are usually a prophecy to one nation, and then they jump ahead to the messianic kingdom at the end. A minor prophet gives a prophecy against a certain nation, for instance, Edom, or to a certain city like Nineveh. Then the prophet closes his book by looking forward in time and giving a short prophetic glimpse of Israel's future kingdom. That's what a minor prophet, the idea behind the minor prophets. They preached against one nation or one city, and then they looked forward to the messianic kingdom. And that's what Hosea does. Hosea looks at Israel, and Israel is God's adulterous wife, repudiated but ultimately restored to the Lord. The scarlet thread in Hosea, he is the love that is faithful forever. He is the lover that is faithful forever, the faithful lover. Joel, the theme of Joel, the day of the Lord and the full kingdom blessings for Israel. That's the theme, the scarlet thread in Joel. Christ baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. In Amos, he talks about Jehovah's controversy with the whole family of Jacob and the glory of the Davidic kingdom. The scarlet thread, Christ is our burden bearer. In Obadiah, he talks about God's judgment on Edom, a specific nation. And then Edom's place in the future kingdom. The scarlet thread is Christ is our Savior. Jonah, his theme, of course, is repentance to Nineveh. The scarlet thread, Jesus Christ, is the great foreign missionary, taking the gospel into the world. Micah, his theme was to Samaria, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. The scarlet thread in Micah, he is the messenger with beautiful feet. Nahum, his theme, again, to Nineveh. The holiness of Jehovah must judge sin. And the scarlet thread of Nahum, Christ is the avenger. Christ is the avenger. Habakkuk, his theme. His theme answers the question how God can be consistent with himself in view of permitted evil in the world, specifically in Israel. And the scarlet thread of Habakkuk is he is the watchman ever praying for revival. Zephaniah reveals the true moral state of Israel even in the midst of a quote-unquote revival during Josiah's time, which true moral state, that condition, brought judgment. The scarlet thread is the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord, mighty to save. And then Haggai, his theme, it is time to rise up and build the house of the Lord. The scarlet thread is Christ is the restorer of our heritage. And Zechariah, his theme is the Gentile nations will be held accountable by the coming Messiah for their treatment of Israel. It's preaching to the Gentile nations who are oppressing Israel. The scarlet thread, Christ is our fountain. Christ is our fountain. And last of all, last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, his theme is the love of God for Israel, God's judgment on the sins of the priests and the people, and the day of the Lord. And the scarlet thread in Malachi, he is the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. Okay, so let's real quick shut that off and put the notes away so the kids can't see the notes. How many 12-year-olds and younger do we have? Raise your hand. How many 13-year-olds? Put your hands down. How many 13-year-olds and on up? Okay, how many 11-year-olds on up? 11-year-olds on up. Okay, that's getting more even maybe. 10-year-olds on down, put your hands up. 10-year-olds on down, put your hands up. 10-year-olds on down. Okay, I'm going to go with 11 on down and 12 on up. 11 on down and 12 on up. We'll see which group wins the quiz. So, 11-year-olds and younger. What book means beginning?
Genesis.
Very good. I better get my scorekeeper out. 1 point for the young guys. 12-year-olds on up. What is the scarlet thread of the book of Exodus? The scarlet thread of the book of Exodus. What's Exodus about? What's the big thing in Exodus? And again, the scarlet thread is the thing that represents Jesus. Jesus was what in the book of Exodus? Jesus is pictured by what in the book of Exodus? That's the scarlet thread. Come on. 12-year-olds on up. Well,
30, 40, 50.
Okay, 18-year-olds, 18-year-olds. This is youth discipleship, not testing the adults' knowledge. 12-year-olds on up, the scarlet thread of Exodus, Christ is? Nope. The Passover lamb. The Passover lamb. Okay. 11 on down. 11 on down. What is the scarlet thread in the book of Joshua? And I chose this one because it's so easy. The scarlet thread in the book of Joshua. What happened in Joshua that is a picture of Jesus? Maybe I went too fast tonight. What happened in Joshua, young kids? That was a type of Jesus. Oh, yes. Nope, that was Numbers. The scarlet thread in Numbers. Do you have a guess? The red rope from Rahab's window, that's right. But too bad we already got a guess. So you don't get it, but you're right. The scarlet thread in Joshua is the scarlet thread. That's why I chose that one for you young guys. The scarlet thread is the scarlet rope in Rahab's window. Okay. Older kids, 12 years old on up. What is the key word in the book of Leviticus? Very good. Holiness. Maybe I gave that one away by emphasizing that too much. Holiness is the key word in Leviticus 87 times does that occur. Young kids, 11 on down. In Judges, what is the scarlet thread? In Judges, the book of Judges, what would Jesus be pictured by in the book of Judges? When you read the book of Judges and you read all about all those judges judging Israel, what do you think Jesus is pictured as? I'm giving him too many hints, probably. Yes. The judge, exactly. He is the judge. Christ, our judge. Older kids, let me know what the theme or the scarlet thread of the book of Ruth is. What is the theme or the scarlet thread of the book of Ruth?
He is our kinsman redeemer.
Very good. He is our kinsman redeemer. Young kids. Whoops, got to find a young kid one. What book of the Bible, of the Old Testament, never mentions the name of God? Yes.
Esther,
very good. Older kids, what is the theme of the books of Samuel? 1st and 2nd Samuel, the theme. I thought I emphasized this one pretty good. Or I was planning to when I made my notes.
God is searching
for men. That is right. God is searching for faithful men. Well, yeah, close enough. God is looking or searching for faithful men and women. Faithful men and women. Younger kids. True or false? True or false? Biblical poetry is rhymes. Yes.
False.
Correct. Biblical poetry is not rhymes. Older kids. What are the purposes of all genealogies in the Bible?
To point to Christ.
That's right. That's a good short and sweet way to say that. Okay, younger kids. What is the oldest book of the Bible?
Job.
Very good. Job. Older kids. What is the prayer and praise book of Israel?
Psalms.
Very good. Psalms is the prayer and praise book of Israel and should be one of ours as well, if we could only figure out how to sing it. Younger kids, what book is the book about divine wisdom, God's wisdom? What book is the book about God's wisdom? Nope, not Deuteronomy. The book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. Okay, older kids, now it's your chance to get ahead. Explain to me what is the difference between major and minor prophets. That's the big difference. You got it. Okay, the older kids are ahead by 1 point. Last time the younger kids won, I think. Younger kids, what is the book talking about man's wisdom? Proverbs is God's wisdom. What book talks about man's wisdom? This is a little bit harder, but it's running out of easy ones for the kids, for the younger kids. I'll give you a hint. It means the preacher.
Ezekiel.
Close. You had the E right, and there's a lot of sounds that sound similar. Ecclesiastes. Very close. Older kids. What is the theme of the book of Daniel? The theme of the book of Daniel. I might catch him on this one. Daniel wouldn't have known what his theme was, but we know what his theme was. All right. I did. Older kids, do you give up? Should we give the adults a chance for this one? No? The older kids are still ahead by 1 point, so it doesn't even matter if they don't get this one. Okay, adults, what's the theme of the book of Daniel? Like I say, he wouldn't have known what his theme was necessarily as far as what I've assigned to him. It is introduction into New Testament prophecy. Introduction of New Testament prophecy. Younger kids, where am I? Let's see, we go. Oh yeah, we're on the last question. Last question, kids, young kids. Name one of the two books written to Nineveh. Name one of the two books written to Nineveh. Jonah, very good. They are tied. And one more question for the older kids. This is make it or break it. Do or die. Oh boy, I covered this way too fast. I'll have to adjust the question. Question is, how many should I ask of them to give me? Name two of the books not written to Israel or Judah. Name two of the four books not written to Israel or Judah.
Genesis.
Older kids, sorry. Older kids. There are four books not written to Judah or Israel proper. Name two of those four. I was going to ask for all four. So this is a pushover question.
I don't know that you would mention that.
Well, I mentioned who they were written to. But I never pointed out they are not written to these guys.
Jonah and Nahum?
You are right. Jonah and Nahum are the two written to Nineveh. Obadiah is written to Edom. Micah is written to Samaria. So the four books that are written to somebody besides Israel proper or the tribe of Judah, they're all in a row. Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum. And then all the rest are either written to Israel as a whole or Judah. Okay, so the older kids did it. 7-6. So that actually ties up the lifetime score. 1-1. Good job.